Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, verses 25 through 35. You'll find it on page 98 of your pew Bible. Shortly after feeding the 5,000, Jesus crossed to the other side of the sea. And in the Gospel writer's account, we hear one of the seven I am statements around which the Gospel of John is structured. May those who hunger and thirst for righteousness hear the word of the Lord. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." And then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to him, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Oh God, we give you thanks for this time, this place, for all of the opportunities that you set before us to see you and come to know you better, in particular this community of faith that it just encourages us and supports us and helps us in that relationship building with you. Teach us from your word this morning, for it is the truth and it has the power to set us free. In Christ's name, amen. So there is a huge movement that has been happening now for quite a while around nutrition. And people are putting much more emphasis these days on what they eat and the importance of what they eat and where it comes from and how much. There's so many books written about nutrition and about diet. I mean, there's so many diet books out there, and they all sell millions and millions of copies. You have the Atkins diet and the South Beach diet and all of these different diet books. And one of the ones that have come out most recently that I think has a lot of promise is the real food diet. And it's very simple. It says, only eat food that is really food. I think that, like I can get that. Now, some of you are saying, well, wait a minute, I don't understand. What they're talking about is food that has like only one ingredient, like simple food. So let me just help you out here. This is an apple. That's fruit. This is a tasty cake apple pie that says it's made with real fruit. That is a fish. This is a filet of fish sandwich. That's water, single ingredient. This is soda that has lots of other things mixed in with it. That's an orange. These are Cheetos, orange Cheetos. They're the same color, but completely. I don't have any idea what a Cheeto is. Granola, very simple grains. Captain Crunch, Rich Dazner's favorite. We have nuts here. This is a Nutter Butter sandwich, different thing. Carrots and carrot cake. Bananas versus a banana split dessert. So we have to decide. All they're saying is just eat food that's real food and you'll be healthier and you'll lose weight. I can relate to that. I mean, I don't have to do all this other fancy stuff if I just follow that one very simple direction. You know, they're finding that it's in the processing of turning real foods, simple foods, into these more tasty, complex things that is causing a lot of the health problems with people, and they're tracing lots of other issues back to the processing food. So just eat food that is really food and will be healthier. You know, what's true for our bodies is, I think, also really good advice for our spiritual lives. And we're doing this whole series on real that we started off. We talked about real life and real success. And last week we talked about real love and what love is and what love isn't. And today I want to talk about real food and what the Bible has to say about that. And this particular text that we heard is Jesus talking about what is real food. And it's interesting, he's fed people miraculously, 5,000 people with just a little bit of bread and fish. And now crowds of people are flocking to him, and Jesus is very concerned about this. He's concerned about the motivation that's bringing people to him, and that the reason that people are coming to see Jesus is for the wrong reason. And he says this, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because of the signs." In other words, not because of the thing that I am pointing you toward, but you've come because you ate your fill of loaves. I gave you a free lunch and you want another one. He says, don't work for food that perishes, that isn't the real thing, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Jesus is saying, sometimes people come to me for the wrong motivations. You're settling for too little in why we're seeking Jesus. Jesus isn't here simply to satisfy our earthly desires. He has something bigger in mind for you and for me. In the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible says it this way, man, humans, don't live just by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. The Bible is saying there is some other nutrition that we need that's even more than simply feeding and taking care of our bodily needs. I don't know if you saw this, but a professional baseball player, a guy named Justin Verlander, a pitcher for the Astros, bought lunch for his, is she an actress or a model or something? Is it? His wife and all of these people in New York City about a month ago. You know what the tab was for lunch? $1 million. He paid $1 million for one lunch. The fanciest thing from Tavern on the Green, the most expensive restaurant. $1 million for lunch for one group of. Do you know how long that lunch fed those people and satisfied them? The same amount of time that Rich Dazner's bowl of Captain Crunch is going to feed him today, about 6 hours, and they're hungry again. $1 million for one meal. Jesus says, if you're just coming to me because I gave you a free lunch, food to eat, and that's all you want out of me, you are setting your sights way too low. And yet we do it all the time. When do we go to Jesus? When we want to get an A on the exam we didn't study for. When we want to win the lottery. When our marriage is falling apart. When our kids are getting in trouble. We go to Jesus to fix our earthly lives. When we're sick. Now these are not bad things. Maybe the lottery. But, you know, praying to God to help us out. And seeing God's hand at work, moving in some very concrete ways, tangible ways, is powerful. And it happens all the time. But if that's all we want, friends, we're missing the real food. What he really wants to give us. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. When you come to me, you will no longer hunger. Now, that doesn't mean we won't want things, but what it does mean is this. When we begin to pursue Jesus and a relationship with him, we begin to change our appetite. things that we used to perhaps hunger for or feel like we had to have simply don't interest us because we found something far more satisfying through Jesus, and that is a relationship with God that lasts not just in this lifetime, but in eternity, which is to come. There is a satisfaction, a deeply felt infilling that comes when we know who Jesus is and we fall in love with him and we begin to pursue him. It's almost as if our taste buds begin to change. You know, that happens. We can change our appetites. We can change our tastes. Now, most of you know, many of you know, I love the Nutter Butters, man. I'm all in on that side of the screen. I like sweet things, but occasionally I have gone out of my way to discipline myself to not eat sugar, like over Lent. You know, I gave up sugar several times. And the most amazing thing happened. After Lent was over, the first time I ate something sweet, I didn't like it. It was like too sweet. It was like, oh my gosh. You know, the same thing happens when you stop the fast food for a while and then you go back and you take that first bite of the Big Mac and you're like, ugh, this is greasy. Yeah, you've been eating that all along. You thought it tasted great. Now it tastes terrible because you've changed your appetite. And that's what Jesus means. He says, when you come to me and you understand I'm the bread of life, I'm the one who's going to fill you, I'm the one who's going to feed you, you begin to lose the taste that you had for the things that were actually killing you, destroying you, breaking you. All the things that the world says, without this, you're not going to be happy. Without that education, without that money, without that partner, without, you need these things in order to be filled. Jesus says, no, you don't. All you need is me. Pursue me first. I'll give you the things that you actually need, but they won't control you. They won't manipulate you. You won't feel like cravings for things that actually aren't very good for you. To bring this down to a place where many of us and some of us are living and struggling is in the area of human sexuality. You know, we are taught, we are being constantly influenced by messages of the culture that promiscuity is a good thing. It's no big deal. Becoming intimately involved with people is just regular. Everybody does it. It doesn't seem to have any impact. Whether it's television shows, movies, just the way people talk, everything is so casually presented about the way in which we treat that intimate part, that sacred part of our lives. It's just an appetite to be met. And so we hook up and uncouple. And that's the way the society presents it. Jesus has something so much better. To reserve and preserve that part of our lives for a committed lifelong intimate relationship with one person is so much better. The destruction that happens in people's hearts, minds, and souls, and bodies when we cheapen that is truly extraordinary. And yet, we all fall for it. Jesus has something better. But it means changing our appetite and turning away from those things, those messages that we know aren't aligned with what God's better intention is for our lives. The same is true when it comes to how you and I relate to money. Wealth is presented as this thing that, of course, everybody wants, and the more of it we have, the better we are, the healthier, the happier. Friends, that's a lie. It's simply not true. Money, wealth, isn't a bad thing. But when it becomes the focus of our lives, the thing that drives us and motivates us, it destroys us. It eats away at us. No. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Not your sexual appetite. Not your appetite for possessions. Those things don't define you. I have something better for you. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in a memorable verse from the letter to the Philippians. He says, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Set your sight, set your heart, set your appetite on Jesus, who represents these things. And it's extraordinary what happens when we begin to think about these things. We stop thinking about and being obsessed by the other things. In fact, we develop discernment about the things that are healthy for us and the things that aren't. Our appetites begin to change. And slowly and surely, our bodies and our minds and our hearts become tuned to the one ingredient that we need. And his name is Jesus. There's an old hymn that goes this way. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wondrous face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Jesus is the bread of life. He is the bread that has come down from heaven. He is the one thing, the one food that we need for life. Lord, we thank you that we get to come to the table this morning and be reminded that you are the bread of life. You are the one who gives us purpose and meaning and direction and fills us, God. When the rest of the world is taking from us, you pour yourself into us, and we are so grateful that you are the real food. In Christ's name, amen.